This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddini amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to our part two of today's session. I hope you had a blessed short break. Just before the break, alhamdulillah, we were discussing this ayah in the book of Allah that Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi used to open his introduction, and that is wallahu yakhluqu ma yasha'u wa yakhtar. And the correct translation of this ayah is that indeed Allah chooses what He creates subhanahu wa ta'ala, and chooses certain parts of His creation to give rank and honor and precedence to over others. Indeed, it is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one has a hand in this. And to understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, then look at the seven skies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. For indeed, He subhanahu wa ta'ala created the seven skies, and the particles and material makeup of the skies are the same. But even though they are the same, Allah chose a special rank. He chose a special precedence. He chose a special place. For which sky? The highest sky, the seventh sky. And He chose for that sky to be closer to His angels, and He chose for that sky to be closer to His arsh subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the seven heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He created the seven heavens, He chose a special placement for the highest place of Jannah, Al-Firdaws Al-A'la. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the highest Jannah known as Al-Firdaws Al-A'la. He gave this Jannah a special rank. He gave this Jannah a special precedence. He gave this Jannah a special honor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this Jannah for the best of people. And He chose for the roof of this Jannah to be His arsh subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the sunnah, we find a hadith which teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planted the plantations of this Jannah with His hands subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens, and He chose Jannatul Firdaws to have a more special presence than the other paradises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And just like this, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels. And He created the angels but gave a special rank and a special precedence to three angels. He gave rank to Israfil, and He gave rank to Mika'il, and He gave rank to Jibreel alayhim salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the malaika, thousands and thousands and thousands of angels, angels that you and I don't know of, angels that we know of, but in terms of rank, in terms of mention, in terms of praise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed these three angels to enjoy a special honor and a special precedence. We know in the night prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his tahajjud, he would open his salah by saying, Allahumma Rabb Jibreel wa Mika'il wa Israfil. As we find in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would open his night prayer by saying, O Allah, the Lord of Jibreel and Mika'il and Israfil. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been taught by Allah to open his salah with this particular dua. And in this dua, three angels are mentioned. Out of the thousands and thousands and thousands of angels, three angels are mentioned. So Allah has created His angels, but He's given a special rank to three. He's given rank to the angel known as Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel that was given the task of bringing life to the hearts of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For he was entrusted with revelation, and revelation gives spiritual life to the spiritually dead. And then we have Mika'il, the angel who was given the task of giving physical life to people, in the sense that Allah made Mika'il in charge of rain. And rain is the means of life on earth. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed we have made everything alive from water. Or we have made water the foundation of everything that is alive. And this angel Mikael alayhi salam is responsible for rain, that rain which falls onto a barren land by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gives life to this land, gives life to this dead land. So we have the Quran giving life to a dead heart, and we have the rain giving life to dead land. And in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, has the time not come for the believers to have hearts that are filled with khashyah, this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with knowledge of Allah? Because this is the meaning of khashyah. Khashyah does not mean fear. Khawf in the Arabic language means fear. Khashyah refers to fear with knowledge. With knowledge. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that indeed the true people who have khashya are the ulama, because the ulama are the people of knowledge. So khashya is this fear coupled with knowledge, where you know who you're fearing, you understand who you're fearing, and you know the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you disobey, and you know the evidences about that punishment, and you know the prize for those who obey, and you know the evidence for those prizes. This is a higher level of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, has a time not come for the believers to have hearts filled with khashya? Why? Because of this revelation, because of that which Jibreel was sent with to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has a time not come for their hearts to experience this khashya, especially when Jibreel has come with that which gives life to a dead heart, give spiritual life to a dead heart? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not be like the people of before. They went away from this message that gives life to the dead heart. So thus they became a victim of time. They became attached to the dunya. They left obedience to Allah. And most of them became sinners and were considered sinful people. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in this ayah that revelation gives life to the heart. And that's why Jibreel was dubbed as the angel who brings spiritual life, because he was entrusted with revelation that brings life to a dead heart. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and know, اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this ayah, says, and know that Allah gives life to the dead, gives life to dead land. That Allah revives land after it was dead. With who? Or through who? Allah has entrusted Mikael alayhi salam to bring life to this dead land. How? By giving Mikael the responsibility and giving him the ability to bring rain. So in Surah Al-Hadid, subhanallah, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inferencing and referencing Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam. That in the first ayah, there's a discussion pertaining to that which Jibreel alayhi salam has been entrusted with. And in the next ayah, there's reference to that which Mikael alayhi salam has been entrusted with. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. How amazing is the Quran, and how amazing is this deen, and look how well connected all the parts of the Sharia are. When we look at the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. So Allah created thousands of angels, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singled these three angels. And out of these three angels, even though they enjoyed this rank and this precedence and this honor, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving a special precedence, a special rank to Jibreel alayhi salam, entrusting Jibreel alayhi salam with the most important of tasks, and that is revelation. Entrusting Jibreel alayhi salam with the process of visiting the most important from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels, and he gave a precedence to three from his angels, and a special rank, and And indeed, with this we understand, وَاللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, that Allah creates what He wants, and He raises in rank who He wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody has a say in the matter. And just like this, my dear brothers and sisters, then look at you and I as the children of Adam alayhi salam, and notice that yes, as Bashar, as the children of Adam alayhi salam, we share the same entities. We all have hearts, and we have minds, and we have souls, and we have a nafs, and we have eyes and a nose and a mouth and lungs and blood, and we need to eat, and we have the same weaknesses, and we have the same desires. We are all the children of Adam alayhi salam. But even though our makeup is the same, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given special precedence and special rank to certain parts from the children of Adam over others. He's given a special precedence and honor to some of the children of Adam alayhi salam over others. Thus note how Allah raised His prophets in rank over the rest of the children of Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent 124 prophets. 124,000 prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the rank of 124,000 people from the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. 124,000 prophets did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send. And from these prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose His messengers and gave them a rank which was different to the ranks of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he chose messengers from them, those that we know as rusul, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in the hadith of Abu Dharr radiyallahu an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose 313 messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 313 messengers. So Allah raised in rank 124,000. Those were His anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised 313, and gave them a rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give to others, and titled these individuals messengers. Now, somebody might ask and say, is there a difference between a messenger and a prophet? Or is it the same thing? Is it the same thing? Well, brothers and sisters, our scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, they have discussed this. They have discussed this, and they have formulated several views regarding prophets and messengers. Is a prophet a messenger? Is a messenger a prophet? Are they both the same? Are these just two words for one thing? Or are they two words for two different things? They've discussed it in the past, rahmatullahi alayhim. And we have several views from them. Are those scholars who say there's no difference between a Nabi and there's no difference between a Rasul. And they're both the same thing. We can call a Nabi a Nabi, and we can call him a Rasul. And we can call a Rasul a Nabi, and call a Rasul as well. So there's no difference here. They are two words referring to the same thing. And we have a second group of scholars who say that an-Nabiyyu akhassu min ar-Rasul. That a Nabi, a prophet of Allah, is more specific than a messenger. So every messenger is a prophet, and not every prophet is a messenger. And then we have the third view of the scholars, which says, الرسول أخص من النبي, that a messenger is more specific than a prophet. The third one is, every messenger is a prophet, and not every prophet is a messenger. Right? So just, these are two opposing views. So let me repeat that for you. The first view says that there's no difference between the term Nabi and the term Rasul. Every prophet is a messenger, and every messenger is a prophet. They're just two names for one individual that Allah has chosen. The second view of the scholars say, no, this cannot be true. What we understand is that the term Nabi is more specific, and the term Rasul is more general, which means every Rasul is a prophet, and not every prophet is a Rasul or a messenger. So every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. The third view is the total opposite. They say no, the prophet is the general term, the messenger is the specific term, which means every messenger was a prophet and not every prophet was a messenger. So what's the correct view? What is the correct view? In my humble view, and this is the view of our Sheikh, Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, hafidhahullah, the correct view is that الرسول أخص من النبي. So the correct view is the third view. The correct view is that every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. This is the correct view. Perhaps Brother Hisham can type it in the box. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. This is the correct view, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, what is the view of the first group of scholars? Surely, what is the evidence, sorry, for the first group of scholars? Surely, the first group of scholars who have said that there's no difference between the terminologies, then surely they must have evidence. And the reality is, yes, they do have evidence. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 52, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّا أَلْقَ الشَّيْطَانِ فِي أُمْنِيَّتِهِ. So Allah says that we have not sent before you a Rasul or a Nabi, right? Except that when we revealed to this particular person, that could be a Rasul or a Nabi, Shaytan tried to pollute that revelation with his whispers. Okay? So what's the point to note here? They say, look, you know, a lot of the times, or the main argument with regards to those who differentiate between a Rasul and Nabi, they say a Rasul is someone who Allah revealed a book to, and a Nabi is someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal a book to. Right? So those who say there's a difference between Rasul and Nabi, they say a Rasul is someone who Allah gave a book to, like the Quran, like the Torah, like the Injil. So if Allah revealed to a prophet, this prophet becomes a messenger. And if Allah didn't reveal to this prophet, then he remains a prophet and he does not become a messenger. So the scholars of this particular group that say there's a clear differentiation, these scholars say that in this particular ayah, Allah doesn't separate between a Rasul and a Nabi. Allah says in ayah 52, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, that we have not sent before you, O Muhammad, مِنْ رَسُولِ, a messenger, وَلَا نَبِي, or a prophet, except that when we revealed to him. So they say, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling us that Allah reveals to prophets and Allah reveals to messengers. Allah reveals to a Nabi and Allah reveals to a Rasul. Right? So, basically, we understand from this here that there's no difference. And it's incorrect for anyone to say that a messenger is someone who Allah reveals to and comes with revelation, and a prophet is someone who Allah didn't reveal to. They say this ayah cancels out that understanding. So our view is that there's no difference between a Nabi and a messenger. Okay, what's the evidence for the scholars of the third view? And we said this is the correct view, that every messenger is a prophet and not every prophet is a messenger. Well, firstly, they say that if, you know, linguistically, the term Nabi comes from Naba, which means that a Nabi carries the meaning of informant. Okay, informant. And the term Nabi linguistically also comes from An-Nubuwa. And An-Nubuwa refers to this concept of being raised in rank, as prophets are. They are raised in rank, alhamdulillah, and having a platform different to others. Right? Just like a king has a platform known as a throne. Nobody has that platform. So Nubuwa has two linguistic meanings. The first meaning of Nabi refers to informing someone of something, or being an informant linguistically. And Nabi, the second linguistic meaning, refers to having a podium that other people don't have. So this is the linguistic meaning of Nabi. However, Rasul linguistically refers to messenger. So if they are one and the same thing, how come their linguistic meanings are different? And we know that the Sharia is built upon the Arabic language. Right? If they were one and the same thing, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them two names which have totally different meanings? Right? Or meanings that definitely have a clear difference between them. So what's clear, brothers and sisters, is that the difference of opinion between the scholars is founded upon also the difference of meaning between the two terms in the Arabic language. So this is one of the views of the scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim. Now, in terms of further explaining the difference and further offering evidence that there is definitely a difference between the two terms, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah and in the same ayah, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ مِن رَسُولِ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ. So, the scholars of the third view, they use the evidence of the scholars of the first view against them. They say, look, Allah in this ayah, Allah mentions Rasul and Nabi. And the principle of the Quran is that there's nothing excess to requirement in the Quran. If Allah mentions two things, then there's two specific meanings. If the meaning was the same, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would just mention Rasul, or He would just mention Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not say, مِن رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not mention both terminologies when there's no need to mention the second terminology. If the meaning is understood from the first, because the Qur'an is the book of excellence, and the Qur'an is the book of eloquence. Right? So, how can it be that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to one thing, and we know that from the principles of the Qur'an there's nothing extra to requirement, and here Allah places something extra to requirement. Right? So they say the fact that Allah mentioned Nabi and Rasul means that there is a difference between the two individuals. There's a difference between a Nabi and there's a difference between a Rasul. There's also a linguistic nuance here, and that boils down to the grammatical understanding of the letter Waw in the Arabic language. But I'm not going to dive into that with you all. Why? Because already we're discussing something slightly technical, and I don't want to take the scope of discussion too far outside your remit of understanding. This is an English audience, walillahi alhamd. But the main point you need to understand is this, that from the principles in the Quran, Allah doesn't mention anything extra to requirement. And this is true even or understood even in the stories of the Quran. If we look at the Quranic stories, we don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us every single detail of the story. Like in Surah Yusuf, Allah didn't tell us the name of the minister's wife, because there was no need for us to know her name. If there was benefit in it, Allah would have told us. Right? So, there's nothing, for example, in Surah Yusuf as well, many people say, why doesn't Allah speak about the mother of Yusuf alayhi salam? Doesn't a mother love her son more than a father? But Allah mentions Yaqub alayhi salam. Allah doesn't mention the mother of Yusuf alayhi salam. And that answer to the question is the same. That for the purpose, the purpose that the surah served to cover when Allah revealed it, given the circumstances why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it, the purpose was accomplished in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it. If the purpose was not accomplished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mentioned the mother of Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? Because we know at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses Yusuf alayhi salam raising his two parents, meaning his mother and his father. And the scholars of tafsir have differed in terms of who, the mother was. Was it his original mother? Was it a mother that Yaqub married after? And so on and so forth. But as I said, Allah didn't give us specifics. The scholars of tafsir have tried to explain. But the fact that Allah didn't give us this teaches us that from the principles of the Qur'an is that anything extra to requirement, Allah doesn't mention it in the Qur'an. And that is why the Qur'an is the best book. And that is why no one will be able to produce anything like the Qur'an. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this ayah and in this surah, right? Ayah number 52 in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Nabi and Rasul. This teaches us that there is a difference between the two. So this is the second evidence offered by the scholars who say that every messenger is a prophet and not every prophet is a messenger.